This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Good afternoon. Happy Monday, everybody. I'm Matt Larkin. This is the Hockey News Podcast. I am a writer-editor with the Hockey News. You already know that if you listen to this podcast. I'm here with associate senior writer Ryan Kennedy and with his Diet Coke can, the man, the legend, senior writer Ken Campbell. And I think he just got a haircut. I'm looking at his hair right now. It looks fresh.
You told that. You said that last week.
Did I actually?
Not on the podcast, but you told me at work. And I got a haircut 2 Sundays ago. I go to this place. I don't know. People who don't live in Toronto probably don't realize this, but there's a lot of these Chinese haircut places, and they call it Hair Star. Like, mine is called Hair Star. That's what it's called. Or Sincere Hair, or Hair Groovy, or whatever, right? $8. I walk in, guy cuts my hair in like 10 minutes, I give him $10, $2 tip, I'm out of there. It's outstanding.
Dang.
I'm not doing it ever again. Every time I go to a barber, it's like they're racing to see how quickly they can butcher me. My haircuts cost $58.
Wow.
There's a guy named Gus. Gus, if you're out there listening, Gus is a goalie. He's a childhood friend of Joel Ward's. I talked to Joel Ward about this to corroborate the story. And, you know, we just talk hockey.
$58 haircut, and it shows.
You get what you pay
for.
And it shows.
You have good hair. Does he do the beard? Does he clip the beard?
He does the eyebrows and my ear hair sometimes, though. Let's face it. Things get out of control.
Yeah. Well,
no, they get bushy.
Well, just wait till you're my age. Yeah. It's
there
pretty bad.
My wife cuts my hair. It's free.
I thought, look, you look like you cut your own hair.
Burn. Dang.
You go to the same barber as Jack Capuano.
It's just short.
Yeah, Capuano's got a very, like, I call it the hedgehog. Lots of different news to talk about. It's been an interesting weekend. One news story that came out, I think it was Pierre Lebrun of ESPN that had the report first. The IOC on the Olympic side of things is claiming that despite all the talk of this phantom deadline for having NHLers declare for the 2018 Olympics, IOC is saying, no, there is no deadline. Well, I mean, technically there has to be because the Olympics will be played. But I think I understand what they're saying, that, you know, if negotiations need to drag into next season, theoretically, they could. Do you think there's validity to this statement? Does it matter? Is this a reason for optimism because we have more time to negotiate? Or are things still just looking pretty gloomy right now?
I don't know. And, I mean, I guess it's good that the IOC is going to give them as much time as they need, but the NHL owners don't want to go. It's that simple. Gary Bettman has to convince them somehow that it's a worthy thing to do. And he's trying to do that by doing things like, well, let's try and see if the players will add 2 years to the collective agreement. Okay, that's not going to work. So let's try something else. I mean, the players want to go. I believe Gary Bettman wants to go. I think he thinks it's good for the game. I think the owners are dead set against going. You know, I mean, you look at this year, there was a World Cup, and the schedule's been compressed. The World Cup was what? 10 days?
Yeah, give or take, 11 days.
Yeah, okay. Well, the Olympics is at least 2 weeks. At least. So, like, usually they're shutting down for anywhere between 14 and 17 days. So that's going to even compress the schedule more next year. I just, unless they can convince the owners that it's a worthy endeavor, I'm just not feeling very optimistic about it.
Yeah, I don't believe anything the IOC says. So.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're the IOC conspiracy theory.
That's right.
Guy.
It's not even conspiracy theory. There's been books written about it. But, yeah, it doesn't seem like it's in a great place. And, ironically, something you wrote about on the website, Ken, about the 5-day mandated breaks in the NHL.
Yeah.
Of course, you were wrong about the Leafs. They had 2 straight wins on back-to-back nights after their break. But they're a young team.
They hadn't played them yet. I said that.
No, they had
a
break.
Small.
Yeah, I know.
They hadn't played their games yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I think more. It's more because of
the compressed schedule.
The compressed schedule and the injuries. The injuries that are happening because of it.
And I thought that was a very interesting point. If you take the Olympics out, then you don't need to compress the schedule as much. And I understand that logic. And I thought the World Cup was a worthy endeavor. It was really fun. From the IOC's perspective, they're still going to have some sort of hockey for their corporate sponsors and bribery experts.
See,
so it doesn't matter. For them, it doesn't actually matter
who
plays.
See, what I don't understand is, like, is like, why would the IOC have any say whatsoever whether NHL takes part or not? Because, I mean, it's open to pros now, right? The Olympics is open to pros, right? Mm.
It's a glorified, it would
right?
be the equivalent
so,
of Spengler
and
Cup,
all you,
right?
And all you have to do is name your roster by whatever date, and usually in international tournaments, it's like the day before the tournament,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I don't know that the IOC can come out and say, no, we need to know whether you're coming by a certain date, because, I mean, it's up to the national federations and the IHF to administer the actual structure of the tournament. So I'm not sure that the IOC really has a whole lot to say about it.
Interesting. It's funny, I've always been an optimist because I really do believe, you know, all along I believe the players want to go, and not just the guys who actually play. I think the guys who don't get to play love it even more because they get that nice vacation down south, they rest their bodies during the tournament. I think those guys absolutely love the Olympics. But to me, if the deal was going to happen, I don't know, I kind of feel like it would have happened by now. It's just a shame because I always think it's an opportunity here for the owners if they let the players go or if they sign on. There's an opportunity for a nice good faith gesture here if the players think of it as something they really want to do, that maybe the players, they make some concessions down the road negotiating CBA. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so, Matt.
I'm too optimistic, I think.
Well, my feeling is that the players want to go, but they don't want to go at the cost of giving up, you know, a give back in the CBA. You know, and I mean, actually, Don Fehr alluded to that the day of the outdoor game that we were there. He said, look, we can talk about the CBA outside of the Olympic conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll see what we can come up with, and what doesn't work, we'll talk about it. But it's not my sense that the players want to go badly enough to actually say, okay, well, I mean, they've proved, actually, that they don't want to go badly enough to add two more years to the CBA
already. But that was a lowball offer. I'm talking about a much smaller concession. I don't know what the detail would be, but not, you know, that offer was a joke. Let's face it. That wasn't an offer. That was an insult. Mm. But who knows? We'll see what happens. Shane Doan. I can't believe it's happened. It never happened to Chris Phillips, but apparently Shane Doan of the Arizona Coyotes might be having a change of heart. Reports coming out of the desert that he might finally be willing to waive his no-trade clause. I think it's exciting. It'd be fun to see him on a contender. But the question is, at this stage of his career, can he help a contender? And what would be a good fit for Doan right now?
Well, depending on when this gets posted, you either will have read, if you read my blog, or will be reading a blog about this. I'm not sure that Shane Doan hasn't waited just a little too late to make this call, you know? If you're trading for him, the way I figured it, the trade deadline's February 28th. His salary's 3.8 something, something, something. You're picking up about $1.8 million in cap space. Let's say Arizona takes half of that back, so, or whatever. You're picking up somewhere between $900,000 and $1.8 million in cap space. Are there any teams that are going for it that would have that kind of room to add a guy that hasn't been that good this year and is really showing his age? The way I look at it is, does Shane Doan put any team that's really good over the top?
Probably not. It almost feels like it might be, it's terrible to say because he's an NHL player, but I'm exaggerating, but a charity thing. It's almost like a cute, cuddly story. Let's help Shane Doan.
Exactly.
That's not
a
good situation to
be in. It would
be
a great story, but yeah. I'm just not sure, when you look at it practically speaking, that it makes a lot of sense for a team to trade for him. Like, I mean, let's face it. I mean, if he goes, he's going for nothing. Next to
7th round pick.
Yeah, something very, very inconsequential.
Yeah, it's going to be a Windsor Spitfires trade. It's going to be
a
conditional 7th rounder in 2025.
Shane Doan Jr.
Yeah.
I figured that
Shane
out last
Jr.
week.
Acquired for Shane Doan.
There's a 6-year-old kid playing somewhere who just had his rights traded by this Windsor Spitfire.
Yeah,
it'd be funny to interview that kid. Well, you know, trades happen. I just play the game.
I just want to play.
You just got to get pucks deep. And.
I'm just watching cartoons one commercial break at a time.
Yeah, I really got to watch a full 22 minutes, you know, and just not bring my A game here.
Always giving 1,000%. That's not how percentages work, Billy. He learns at his own pace. I'm going to be a little more positive with Shane Doan. I'm not going to use the term charity case, but I'm going to say like totem. I think he could be that guy that a team rallies around and says, let's win one for the donor, which I'm sure that's his nickname if it's not Shaner.
Yeah.
Might be Shaner or Donor.
Or Donesy. Or if he plays for Halifax, Donaire. but I look at it this way.
Don't go breaking my heart.
Oh, so anyways, as we devolve, I look at him at this point on a contending team. Let's just call him a fourth liner.
Yeah, let's
put him into that perspective and say, okay, if you look at Minnesota or Chicago or even Montreal, could they stand to have an upgrade on their fourth line? Sure. And if you get a guy that has been a very good scorer in the NHL, and maybe if you put him in the right situation, could at least for a little bit of time give you something extra than a guy who's probably an AHL tweener that you have there right now, mm-hmm. is that not worth it?
Great guy in the room. It's a pretty interesting theory, because my first thought would be, it's funny, because it's a good point you mentioned about the fourth line. I was picturing Shane Doan, you drop him on Pittsburgh. What line does he play on? He can't play in the top six.
Right.
But maybe that's the point. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's the equivalent of when the Dallas Stars had the grumpy old man line. They had Kirk Muller playing on the fourth line, and maybe that's what Shane Doan could be. It's an interesting theory.
I guess, but a couple of things with that. First of all, he's got what, 4 goals this year? Is he that much of an upgrade even on your fourth line?
How many goals does Andre Kopitar have?
And secondly, I mean, is Shane Doan going to come in with all the fire in his belly to win a Stanley Cup? Like,
he better.
I don't know if he does. I'm not sure if he comes in and goes, well, gee, this would be nice to win, but, you know, if I don't, it's okay. And I mean, he's proved in the past that it's not a priority for him to go to a team that's going to win. So, I don't know. I think the ship has sailed already.
It might be a year too late, because I think as recently as last year, he was still pretty effective. But who knows? Maybe he gets a second win.
And you need speed and skill on your four lines now. Like, I think, you know, the teams that are really successful, the Columbuses, everybody, now they have that on their fourth line, and I'm not sure that he's either fast enough or skilled enough at this stage of the game to be able to keep up a pace like that every second night for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see the guy lift the Stanley Cup, because he's one of the great NHL guys, and he's one of the great guys we have in our game and all that stuff, but I'm not sure that in practical terms that it works.
It's funny, it's a bit of a segue, but one team I was wondering if they could use a Shane Doan on a fourth line, but maybe they're too deep. The Washington Capitals, you know, all this hoopla, it's almost like when they beat Columbus, a torch was passed, now they've won 9 games in a row, and they're somehow quietly, I would argue quietly, 16-2-2 in their last 20 games. You know, it's hard to say. Can we label the Capitals the best team in the NHL now? Or is it kind of, are we just tired of talking about this every year? Washington's always dominant in the regular season. To me, it's the law of diminishing returns. Each time I see the Caps rising up the standings, it means less to me, because I say, well, get it done in the playoffs.
I guess there's a couple things about that. First of all, I'm sure that the Minnesota Wild would have a good counterpoint to that. Because, you know, I mean, Washington 16-2-2, Winnipeg. Minnesota is 17-1-2 in their last 20. So, actually, they've gotten more points in their last 20 games than Washington has. I think the thing that makes this Washington thing a little different is that they're doing it in a division that is an absolute death, you know, the group of death. Yeah. I mean, you know, with those teams and the way they, you know, some of them are playing and how competitive. Like, I mean, Columbus won 16 games in a row and they're not even in first place anymore.
Yeah.
You know, ridiculous. I mean, Washington's now in first place.
They did that to keep pace.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I think it's a little different this year. I think my son, Lucas, he's 17 years old, and he's a big Washington Capitals fan. He says, okay, we're doing it all different this year. We figured, you know, we're going to play like it's the playoffs at the beginning of the season. So we'll suck at the beginning of the season, and then we're going to turn it on. And that's as good an explanation as any as I've come up with. But they're ridiculous. I mean, they've got 4 shutouts in their last 6 games.
Yeah, Holtby suddenly joined Dubnyk and Sergei Bobrovsky right at the forefront of the Vezina Trophy race again.
Well, and Grubauer's playing well, too.
Yeah, Grubauer got the shutout. But you know what's weird? Go ahead. I haven't let you talk, Ryan. Go ahead.
I was going to say, probably along the same lines.
I don't want to just keep talking and talking and talking and not let anybody else talk.
I don't know what that's like.
That's what he's going to do now.
Exactly.
Anyways, but what I was saying was, go ahead.
Right. I mean, you look at how they dismantled the Flyers on the weekend, and I watched that game. It was 1-0 when I started watching it, because I was watching a junior game before that. And in no time at all, it was 4-0, and then 5-0. They just piled it on. Justin Williams, a guy that we think of as Mr. Playoffs, he has been red hot ever since I wrote in the issue in the team note for Washington that he needed like a do-over because he wasn't playing very well at the beginning of the year. Of course, after I wrote that...
Reverse jinx.
He's been on fire. I think they said he has like 19 goals in his last 20 games or something ridiculous like that.
I don't think he has 19 goals in his last 20 games.
He wishes.
17, 19 points.
I want to look it up. Let's look it up.
Whatever it is. If only there were some way to confirm these things.
A magical machine.
Yeah. Needless to say, he's hot right now.
Yeah.
And I think, you look up and down that roster, and they've got a lot of talent. And they've been through this before, and we are at the point now where I think they are the San Jose Sharks, where it's like, we'll just... Let us know when you're in the Stanley Cup Final,
and then
we'll believe in you.
But
there's, at the same time, just like San Jose in the past, there's no reason not to believe in them.
Well, tonight will be a good indicator. They're playing Pittsburgh again.
Interesting.
And if they can dismantle them like they did, I think they beat them pretty badly the last time, just a couple of days ago.
No Chris Letang this time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing about Washington, though, I watched that game too, and I thought they lollygagged their way through the first half of the game. And then they finally just said, okay. Like, it was almost like they looked at each other and said, hey, you guys feel like starting to play now? And then
they
it was like, boom.
Yeah.
And then it was, and then as you said, it was just a deluge.
Pray for Steve Mason.
It's funny, you know, I actually did the shot attempts in their last 9 games. What would you think their shot attempts would be? Like, do you think it would, you'd probably think that they'd have a ridiculous gap in shot attempts.
Versus their opponent.
Yeah, in favor,
yeah,
right?
I assume so.
Yeah.
I feel you're going to say something different.
Yeah, I am. 484 shot attempts for, 514 shot attempts against.
Interesting. Hmm. So that, to me, that speaks to Braden Holtby. When a team is possession numbers that they're losing the possession game and they're still winning, usually it's a sign of great goaltending. To me, with the Caps, I'm still skeptical because they're always dominant. They have an amazingly deep team. They've got great size. They've got great skill. But this team is not very different from last year. You got Lars Eller brought in. You got Jason Chimera gone. But for the most part, this is almost exactly the same team. So I'm not going to really become a Caps believer unless we see Brian McClellan say, you know what, Ovi's window's starting to close. Let's do something aggressive. Let's trade for Matt Duchene.
Let's get Shane Doan.
But it's like, you know, let's trade Matt Duchene Doan.
Maybe
trade Madison Bowie, your best defensive prospect. And say, you know what, Nicholas Backstrom's almost 30. Ovi's reached in the 30 plateau. Braden Holtby's in his late 20s. John Carlson is in his prime right now. Let's go for it. Let's trade our best defenseman prospect. So maybe it's Jacob Vrana if you want to trade a forward instead. Let's get Matt Duchene. Let's do something crazy and go for it. If you see Washington do something like that and actually transform their look before the playoffs, then I'll start believing in them.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, certainly they're a team that it's, you know, they should be located in Missouri because it's the show me thing, right? Like, I mean, anyways, yeah, I mean, but I mean, I picked them to win the cup so many years in a row that it, you know, it came back to bite me so many times that I'm of the same opinion. Like, let's get you through the first 2 rounds. It's not necessarily the first round, and I think once they get to a conference final, they'd be rolling.
Yeah,
but it's that second round.
They always get hit by either Pittsburgh or the Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah,
and unfortunately, they're in the same division as both those teams.
Yeah.
So the chances of them meeting at least one of them are pretty good.
Extremely high.
Yeah, but they got to do it.
The NHL, the league that I think is kind of allergic to fun, has decided the All-Star Game we got coming next week, they've scrapped the breakaway challenge because, you know, it's too much of a stretch for players to show, I guess, too much of their personality. So, I think it was Nick Kiprios quoted saying, you know, it's for 9-year-olds anyway. I don't know. Personally, the All-Star game is the one weekend of the year where you're supposed to see these personalities come out. You saw Brent Burns do the Chewbacca thing last year. I know it's kind of like pulling teeth for the players, but I'm a bit saddened by it. I'm curious what you guys think. Is it the right move? Was it lame? Was it forced? What do you think?
Well, the whole weekend is lame and forced, and I don't care about it, and I'm not talking about it.
There you go.
That's for all. Me, I don't care. Like, I don't care. I just don't care. It's the biggest who cares ever in the history of who cares.
But it's not hurting anybody. That my counter argument is it's hockey is supposed to be fun.
Yeah, I guess.
And you get great media access out of it.
Well, that's the only reason why I go.
So you care. It's crucial for us.
Not having a stupid breakaway competition is crucial for us. It's having the actual whole weekend where they have this big dog and pony show that doesn't mean anything and is boring and stupid is whatever. I'm out. Right. That's it.
There you go.
Don't care.
He just Ken Hodge, by the way. He just tossed his pen.
Dave Hodge.
What did I say? Ken Hodge?
Ken Hodge.
Freudian slip. I'm thinking about the Bruins.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's your Izzy a Ranger guy.
Damn. I wish.
The truth comes out.
I wish.
I think it was the right move because you could tell how uncomfortable the players were throughout the years. And when it came to the actual shots, like the best moments were essentially just costume changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
It was Ryan Johansson has an Ohio State jersey on. And it's like, Chewbacca mask, that's fun. And it's like, Superman.
Yeah,
like,
and the Johnny Gaudreau thing. And that was
There's a couple of good ones.
In terms of actually showcasing the skill,
yeah,
it didn't do that. It's like the shootout. It's a goalie competition, right? And the shootout, or the breakaway competition, I mean, the goalies were just basically standing there and letting goals in.
Because it's better to not try than try and get lit up.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's sort of a problem with it, too. I think the only one that really had the right sort of thought process was one year Carey Price was just, like, super goofy. And, like, he was trying to save things backwards. It's like, okay, that's good. Because if the guy's trying a fantastic move and you still stop it by accident, then, like, that's kind of funny, but it's not going to be the slam dunk competition because there's never a defender in the slam dunk competition. You know, it's mm-hmm. a different sport. It's just a different thing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil my own blog for Wednesday, but I have an idea for what they can replace it with that I think would be really fun. But I think there's other events. Maybe what they do is if they need something that showcases the players in that sense, maybe it's just kind of like a trick stick handling thing. Like, I remember years ago we did a photo shoot at Matt Duchesne's house, and we were just, you know, we're taking some shots outside. He's got like a, you know, like a big setup so he can shoot in his front driveway. And while we were just waiting around for the photographer to get set, he, if I remember correctly, he had a puck on the ground and he had a stick as if it was like a staff, and he slammed down the butt end on the puck and flipped it up in the air and caught it with a stick. And we were just like, oh my God, that's incredible.
Yep.
Every player has some sort of trick like that.
Yeah, yeah.
If they want to do some kind of skills competition, I think maybe they could try that, but I think, you know, there's other stuff that's fun in the weekend. And maybe what we see now is some crazy moves just in the actual 3-on-3 games, where it's a little more organic.
I'm more upset that they don't have the player draft anymore because the players used to get hammered and they'd be hilarious during
very
that.
True.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was always
that was fun to watch. But
yeah.
Yeah, I'm more upset about that than some guy skating around with a cape on or whatever.
To me, it's almost like, because it's like, why does the dunk contest work? Because it actually settles a debate. Who's the best dunker in basketball?
Right.
Three-point shooter. Who's the best three-point shooter? So that's why I love the idea of displaying skill. Like, who's the best puck handler in the NHL? I think it's Patrick Kane, but I'd love to see Patrick Kane doing a deke obstacle course head-to-head with Connor McDavid. I know they sort of have an element of that in the relay, but one, let's say, something that's entirely deke-oriented, right? Like, and that's why the hardest shot is good, because it actually...
Ooh, what if they played a game
of
horse?
Yeah, a game of horse would be pretty cool.
That would be good. Stick-handling horse.
Yeah, yeah.
See, the only problem is with this, a lot of this stuff, and it goes back to the players showing their personality and everything, is the guys who are best at it don't go in it.
Like Sidney Crosby. We never get to see what Crosby
can do. Yeah, I know, but like, lots of times the fastest skater won't go in it because he figures, well, I've got nothing to gain here because everybody thinks I'm the fastest skater in the NHL. So if I don't win, I'm hooped. And if I do win, everybody knew anyway. So lots of times you don't get guys matching up to the events that they should be in.
Yeah, for all we know, Carl Hagelin's like the 11th fastest skater in the NHL, but he's always good to do it. So.
We'll never know.
Yeah. I remember 1 year Teemu didn't go in it, and he didn't go in it, and somebody else, some other Finnish guy won, and he said, hey, there's the Finnish Flash now, and it's like, no, that guy can't skate as fast as you, you just didn't go in the competition. Yeah.
Stop deflecting.
Yeah.
That's right. We haven't had reader questions for a while. We're going to start phasing them back in because straight up, we just forgot. So, hey, everybody, welcome back. We want to start with a few reader questions. We're going to go to my man, a loyal reader, Angelos Ferentinos, big Washington Capitals fan, promised him the first question. And his question is, in light of all the hoopla after the World Junior Championship, the shootout, do you guys think shootouts should be abolished, period, in all forms of hockey?
I think that... if there was 3-on-3 for 10 minutes, and this can be after a 5-on-5, 10 minutes, or 4-on-4, 10 minutes, if you go 3-on-3 and nobody scores, then I think you can go to a shootout because you have exhausted every possibility for somebody scoring. And, I mean, you can go on forever and it just becomes like a war of attrition, but that would be the one case where I'd be okay with it. But for me, like, I'm not so dead set against the shootout as other people. They say, like, oh, it's just a skills competition. It's like, yeah, it's a sport with skills, and you compete. I have no problem. Like, it's an aspect of the game. Like, at the World Juniors 1 year, somebody asked Rickard Granberg when he was coaching Sweden, like, did you guys practice the shootout? And he's like, yeah, it's part of the game. Why wouldn't we practice it?
Of course.
Like, it just seems like something where... It's tough when a game ends like that, but like I was at that World Junior gold medal game, and like I was exhausted by the end of 80 minutes of incredible hockey. The teams are so well matched. Like if somebody in, you know, minute 164 banks one in off somebody else's shin pad, is that any more rewarding than seeing Troy Terry go up against Matt Barzal and all of Canada's shooters and come out victorious, and Tyler Parsons stopping all 5 shots. For me, like, that added to... it was part of the drama. I don't think it detracted from the drama.
Well, my feeling is, and I used to be a big proponent of the shootout. I was a big shootout guy. I liked it. I thought it was a great idea. I thought it added a lot to the game. I've changed my tune on the shootout. I think it's time for it to go. First of all, because number one... it's not a skills competition. It's a goaltending competition, usually.
That's not a skill?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're not seeing the guys, you know, display their skill. You're seeing goaltending skills. And the main reason why I don't like the shootout anymore is because it's robbed the game of, quote-unquote, the most exciting play in hockey.
Which is the overtime winner.
No, which is a penalty shot. Penalty shot used to be the most exciting play in hockey. Ooh. Now when somebody calls a penalty shot, it's like, whatever.
We're going to see 10
of them after the game, so right, who cares? Right. Like, it's robbed the game of that. And I mean, in a big competition, there's no question in my mind. It's not the best way to win or lose a championship. And like, you know, I mean, Canada's been on the good side of it. They've won with it with Jonathan Toews and all these other things, and they've lost with it with, you know, Peter Forsberg and the World Juniors and everything. I think in a big competition and something that really means something, I don't think there's any place for it at all. I think it should there's got to be a better way to figure out who's going to win the game. And like I said, I just feel like it's run its course. Like I don't hate it. I just feel like it's the problem is it's not exciting anymore. Right. Like I don't even like when I'm watching a game. If I'm watching a game and it goes to a shootout, I'm not even that enthralled in it. Like I might even change over to another game when I'm watching that because it just doesn't do anything for me anymore.
I think I'm with you on that one, Ken. And I know people can make the argument, yes, you know, it still involves trying to put the puck in the net, so it's still a part of the game. But that's where I kind of pull. I like to call it the oh, come on defense, where I say, oh, come on. The object of the game in hockey is for a group of players, while opposed by another group of players, try to pass the puck to each other, move the puck down the ice toward the goal. So to me, yes, technically it involves sticks and pucks going toward the net with a goalie in net. Yes, it does involve that, but it's not really in the spirit of the sport. And people can say, well, hey, they've been doing it in soccer for years, but I'd say the same thing about soccer. I'd rather see you continue an extra time in soccer, personally.
Yeah.
I think and you go back to the MLS Cup. The final of the MLS Cup. what team won? Seattle. Portland, Seattle? They had no shots on goal during the game.
Right.
Zero shots on goal during the game, and they won in a shootout.
Yeah, I think if for example, the World Juniors, where they had 5-on-5 overtime for 20 minutes, if it was 4-on-4, somebody would have scored.
Yeah,
if you did 4-on-4 for 20 minutes, I think you would never see a shootout, and that would probably appease all.
And it would be wild. And even 3-on-3s. People would say 3-on-3 is a gimmick. But yes, it's a gimmick, but it's still hockey. It's still, like, if you're going to play a game
strategy
of hockey with your friends, you might play 3-on-3, and that's a game of hockey. Like playing road hockey outside. It still feels like the sport.
So taking shots with your friend isn't a game.
That's right. It's not hockey. It's just, let's do a shootout. Let's do a skills competition. good question from Angelos. Here's another one from Thomas Bernacki. Hopefully I said his name right. This is an interesting question. I don't really know what it means, but we can take a crack at it. Thomas says, do they still freeze pucks before the game so it won't bounce all over? Okay, so far so good.
Right.
Or do they let it spoil of natural causes?
Not sure what that last part means, but
I'm stumped.
I'm pretty sure they do freeze pucks, and I think when they have the pucks in the on the timekeeper's bench, they're in a bunch of ice, but so they don't bounce around anymore. Well, I mean, the ice is so shitty in every NHL arena that it bounces around anyways.
Mm-hmm. There you
so
go.
There's the answer to your question,
you
Tom Bernacki.
Boom.
I think natural causes would just mean an unfrozen puck thawing
guess,
like food.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just call it that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's just say that's what he was asking. All right, Thomas, the last question's
well,
a nice...
what's your thoughts on this, right?
I don't know your thoughts on that.
Okay. I got nothing.
Yeah.
Frozen pucks, not quite in the area of expertise.
Yeah.
That's all right. Last question's a nice transition because Ben Thielman decided he wants to participate in Was He a Ranger?
Aha.
Hey, listen, Ben. Wait a second there, Ben Thielman. You don't just get to say you're coming in our little game.
Well, I think he did. He just did.
No. Like, you got to work here. Like, I went to journalism school. I worked for 20 years, 30 years, whatever, to be at the Hockey News, to have my elevated place in the hockey world. I've earned my right to play. Was he a Ranger? What the hell has Ben Thielman ever done earn his right was he a Ranger?
You got
We got some feedback on the theme song, and they went with the Robert Palmer.
All right, so let's hear it
so
again.
So it's doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of Was He a Ranger. Or we could go with, might as well face it, you're addicted to Was He a Ranger. Or,
which I think everyone
Bruce
is.
Colburn, lovers in a Was He a Ranger asleep.
A little bit of CanCon there,
too.
That's nice.
Yeah, we're still, it's still a work in progress.
We're ironing out the kinks.
All right. Gabriel Thielman
okay.
or whatever. What's
so
his
it's
name?
Ben.
Ben Thielman.
All right. Ben, he's going with, I mean, I don't think this is a particularly tough one, but, you know,
okay.
Pascal Dupuis.
No. I don't think so.
Was not a Ranger.
So. Not a Ranger, I don't think.
No.
Well, you know what's funny?
An Atlanta Thrasher.
You know what I should have done? I forgot to look it up before the podcast, so I don't even have an answer for you.
But
I forgot to look it up.
Okay, we didn't even know before, so okay.
I'm so used to already knowing going in.
Stay tuned for the next podcast.
Next week we'll reveal
this. This is going to be a cliffhanger.
But I'm going to say,
like,
I'm 97.4% sure Pascal Dupuis was not a Ranger, but that's about the best I can do. I just forgot.
Okay.
Bang of job, man.
Way to go. Way to go. Good.
Really just taking care of my own shit.
Matt's
here.
The guy that's the point man for all of
good
this
job.
Stuff. Yeah, good work.
Good job. Good effort.
I'm running a tight ship. Real tight ship.
It's a gaming ship.
All right. I'm going to move on to the next one. Maybe this is really easy. Maybe not. I got a story to go with it. Not a good story, but a story.
Cool story.
Michael Nylander.
Totally was a
Ranger. Definitely.
Okay.
That's the easiest
which
one
is
ever.
Easy. I know, but I found out last week.
Well, weren't you
I forgot
watching
that
last
he was,
week?
I know, but
his
this
kid
before
was
that.
Talking about how Henrik Lundqvist used to come to our
yes,
house.
Yes, I know. But and that's what made me think of it. I said, I don't remember him being a Ranger. So I looked it up, and he had his two best seasons as a Ranger.
He
had an 83-point season.
He was amazing
but
as a
it was
Ranger.
It was just gone from my brain, and I was so fascinated. I thought, maybe he's a good Was He a Ranger. Or maybe I'm just dumb, which I think is the theme of today's podcast. So, yeah. Clearly was
Ranger. That's clearly like the easiest Was He a Ranger ever.
I'm just roping
I thought you were like going to ask, was his brother Tommy Nylander a Ranger?
Nope.
And like there's some Ranger team in Sweden that we don't
right,
know about.
Right.
Like the, you know, Hoobie Rangers.
I was hoping he'd at least say a real city.
I know.
Sorry, Sweden.
Farstad Rangers.
Okay. All right, what do you got?
All right. Not to be confused with the hero of Die Hard, John McClane.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he became a Ranger later in his career.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that too. I'm pretty sure he was.
John McClane was a Ranger.
Okay. And in honor of our stupid all-star conversation, that's just stupid and stupid.
No, I know what he's going with here. I'm guessing. Are you going to go John Scott? Is that what you're saying?
No. No, I'm actually going to go...
I'm not sharp today.
I'm going to go somebody else who was kind of... who almost was voted into the all-star game. The much-traveled Rory Fitzpatrick.
Oh, that is a good one.
I'm going to say
not a Ranger. I don't recall Rory Fitzpatrick in a Rangers
game. Yeah, I don't associate him with the Broadway blue shirts. He's a Buffalo Sabre to me, and I can't picture him as a Ranger. I'm going to say no, not a Ranger.
He was a Philadelphia Flyer, a Nashville Predator, a Buffalo Sabre, a St. Louis Blue, something else, but not a New York Ranger.
Hurrah!
I want to say Vancouver.
Yeah, Vancouver too. Yeah, that's where he was. There you go. I think that's where he was playing when he got all the votes for the All-Star.
I'm also going to look up Pascal Dupuis right now. That's my next order of business for the day. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody, and fire us some more questions for next week.